Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you. Lovely to see a full church, isn't it? We welcome our friends from Bethlehem to join us, and we'll be with you next week. And we welcome Peter, who's going to lead our worship and communion service this morning. I hope you're enjoying the heat. I had my arm twisted to put the heating on. So I hope it's warm enough for you. And it's good. I think you're all looking fantastic, by the way. You're all looking great. So it's really good. And we welcome Karen and Steve's friends from Bedford. Good to see you. And welcome to Bethesda. And as we come together next, I'll talk about next week in a minute. Sarah's sent her a message. She's saying, please read this out this morning. She sent a couple of photos as well. So a huge thank you to our Bethesda family for the generous gift to help us start in an unfurnished home. We have bought a new cabinet for the television to stand on, and I got some help last night to get it all up and running. Every time we watch anything, we can think of you all. Life is good here in rural Somerset. The children love their schools, and Isla and Will are focusing on sport and some study. And some study, I think is what she means. Ella is doing a bit of everything, from drama to sport and music, and her maths is getting so hard, I struggle to help her with it. I know all about that. We are back on the island this week for a couple of weeks, so we hope to see you all at some point. With love, Sarah, Isla, Will, and Ella. So that's nice to hear from her to us.
Just very quickly, I've been a bit remiss because a little while ago, I don't know if you remember, Gail, our manager from the nursery, had a big birthday. And we gave her a lovely present because she's been here for 20 plus years and very loyal and kept the nursery going beautifully. And she was absolutely bowled over by it. We gave her a voucher to use on the St. on Condor. So she was going to go to St. Marlowe and whatever. And she was completely, she said, I'm bowled over. I don't know what to say. I'm absolutely delighted. So just to pass on her thanks to you all.
Thank you. Yeah, Condor's a bit, Right. So, there's Heidi there, I think. Heidi. Oh, that's right, okay. It's our church council on Wednesday, so everyone from Bethesda is invited to come along. Bethlehem managed theirs within the hour. So there's a little target for us. I was dead impressed. I was very, very, very impressed. So that's on Wednesday, 7:30 in here. Next week we are at Bethlehem, and John Perkins is leading the service, and Jean's going to say something about the weekend. Jean?
Yes, we do this every year. We're really looking forward to it. It is a time of rejoicing, despite what's going on in Israel at the moment. The Jewish people will still be celebrating because it is an appointed feast of the Lord. But we have a wonderful speaker coming over from the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem. His title for the Saturday is Days of Destiny, and that's an all day from 10 till 5. Friday night, if you'd like to come along, there's a welcoming meal all together, again with a Shabbat meal led by Diane and Paul. And all are welcome to come, just bring and share. The whole weekend is bring and share food, really, lunch times as well, on the Saturday and the Sunday. On the Sunday, John Perkins is going to be the speaker that day, and he's going to look forward to meeting up with friends from this church as well, I'm sure. So you're all welcome. Come along. It is a time that it is for all of us, not just for the Jewish people. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Are there any other notices? Nope. Right. Any birthdays to celebrate? Is it Charlotte's birthday, do you think, coming up? Oh, right. Anybody else? No, just Charlotte. So, Mia's not here, but there's Mia as well. Right. And Isla, yeah, Isla's birthday as well this week. So, lots of birthdays in our family this week. So, we'll sing happy birthday if we will to Charlotte.
Time for cake. Oh, well, good morning, friends. And it's great to welcome you all here today. And wonderful, as Richard said, to be united together in worship, united around the cross of Jesus today to share communion and to hear God's words and bring him our praises. On this Prisons Sunday, where we, with other countries, remember those in prison, remember chaplaincy teams ministering to them, and we'll be thinking of that a bit later on in our service. But it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So may we come and worship in freedom today. To enter his courts with thanksgiving. To bless his name. Because the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So let's stand together as we are able and worship him in our first song, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And this one will be on the screen as a video. Now let's worship. Worship as we pray. O Lord, with your whole church on earth and in heaven, we enter your throne room this morning to come and worship you and bless your holy name. And you have called us here today. And you say to us, come. Come in weakness and find strength. Come in sickness and find health. Come in chains and find freedom. Come in confusion and find peace. Come in sorrow, find joy. Come in doubt, find faith. Come in despair, find courage. Come ready, come unready. Come alone or together. Just come as you are. Come and find Jesus Christ, our all in all. Lord, receive our worship today. We come as your disciples. To bless your holy name and to seek to live a life of holiness. And in the quietness, we just reflect on our lives and the past week and those spaces in our hearts where we need to forgive and to be forgiven. And we place it at the cross of Jesus. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Cleanse our hearts. Wash away our sins. Release us from our guilt and fear. And Lord, fill us with your new resurrection life today. Do a new work of grace in our hearts. For you are alive and alive in us. take us today on that next step in discipleship, into deeper loyalty and commitment, into loving service in this week ahead. And we ask these prayers in and through the name of the same Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading tells us how God sees into our hearts and how in Jesus we have one who understands our hearts. And Doreen's going to come and read to us.
So our first reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we look around at each other, it's amazing to think that there's just one thing that's brought us here, and that is that each one of us has met Jesus Christ. He has met us, and we've welcomed him into our hearts. And I wonder if you think back to that time when you first came to Jesus or felt that he came to you and to me. Well, in our gospel reading today, we see a man who encounters Jesus on the road, an eager young man, a would-be disciple. We hear from Mark chapter 10 and beginning at verse 17, and Sandra's going to read to us.
The rich young man. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sandra. Where our treasure lies, there will our hearts be also. And we make our next song a prayer today. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Let's remain seated as we sing this through twice. Grandchildren are going to do an activity upstairs, and we're now going to see an interpretation of this scripture that we have heard of Jesus on the road and the young man who comes up to him.
As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?"
"Look at these."
"Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Let us pray. Truly, the word of God is alive and active, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So, Lord, open our hearts and lives to receive your word and respond in joyful obedience. Amen. An exasperated mother, whose son was always getting into mischief, finally said to him, "How do you expect to get into heaven?" The little boy thought it over and replied, "Well, I'll just keep running in and out and ringing in and out. And finally, St. Peter will say to me, 'Jimmy, for goodness sake, either come in or get out.'" A surprising answer to the question. And the rich young ruler who encountered Jesus in today's gospel had a surprising answer to that question. How do I get into heaven? And we'll explore the story and allow his encounter to speak to our own encounter with Jesus. Who was this man? Well, he certainly made an impact because he's mentioned in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew described him as a young man, and Luke as a member of the ruling class. And traditionally, he is known as the rich young ruler. What we'd give to be any one of those things. And yet, we can connect with him, as we'll see. The story begins, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. And that's a wonderful picture, and it's how we come today. We come to run to Jesus and just to fall down at his feet in worship today. He makes a promising start. He's a keen would-be disciple. And he asks the question, "Good teacher," he asks, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Jesus isn't impressed by the man's flattery. Somebody's described flattery as being like aftershave. You can smell it, but you should never swallow it. And he doesn't. Jesus doesn't swallow it. He knows that he's after something. He was a rich man, but he needed something. What was it that caused him to run and fall at the feet of Jesus that day? Yes, it seemed he had a lot materially, but he was spiritually hungry. He could see something in Jesus he knew he needed. He desired eternal life, eternal riches, union with God. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a good question to the good teacher. A vital question of first importance. God has placed eternity in the heart of men and women. And this man wants to know what one thing must he do to inherit eternal life. What action must he take? And Jesus looks into his heart and knows him completely and says, "You know the commandments." And the man replies, "Teacher, all of those I've kept since I was a boy." That's a bold thing to say, isn't it? But he was a young man, so maybe he was doing well on that front. But he knew there was something more was needed. And, of course, he was at one side of the cross of Jesus, and we are at the other side of the cross of Jesus. And we know that it's not anything we can do ourselves to earn eternal life, but only because of what Jesus has done and his cross and the riches that are gained through that cross and the empty tomb, that it is by grace that you have been saved. So it's not a case of what must I do, but look at what Jesus has done. It's not the work of man, but the gift of God. So, how does Jesus respond? We're told Jesus looked at him and frowned? No. Judged him? No. Lectured him? No. Condemned him? No. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's the most beautiful verse in the Bible, isn't it? He looked at him and loved him. Isn't that, and yes it is, how Jesus looks at you and me this morning? He looks on us with love and compassion. And he saw that he was almost there. He saw the potential in this man to be a follower. And he said to him, "One thing you lack." But what a big thing it was. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Gosh, what a challenge. Then and now. And we think of many Christians who've taken Jesus at his word. We were at Bethlehem last night, a few of us, and watching the film Cabrini about an Italian nun who gave up everything to go and minister in the slums of New York in the 1800s. Think of Francis of Assisi, son of a wealthy cloth merchant. He gave it all up to serve Christ in poverty. We think of missionaries like Jim Elliot, who gave up everything to serve the Lord in South America so that he could write in his journal, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And he would give his life. Most of us will not be called to such danger. But whether we serve Jesus across the world or across the street, his challenge comes to our hearts. And what is it that might hold us back from that next step? What is for you and for me that one thing today that we lack? It might be different, but it might just be one thing. One thing more. To put our resources at the service of others. And how did he respond? Well, we're told, on hearing this, the man's face fell. And he went away sad because he had great wealth. The man who had run to Jesus now ran into difficulty. And the Lord put his finger on the man's need. He was rich, but he was poor. He was himself on this prison Sunday a prisoner in a gilded cage. And so Jesus saw his reaction and said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You see, this man came to Jesus wanting information, but Jesus was calling him to transformation, to change his life. Not must, what must I do, but who must I be? And it's a hard question. What is it that claims our highest loyalty today? What is our treasure? Possessions can possess us. We can put created things above our Creator. So Jesus goes on to say how difficult it is, but not impossible, for the wealthy to be in that right relationship with God. A lot can get in the way, and no camel can go through the eye of the needle. Of course, for many, the problem isn't wealth. Some of you will struggle to make ends meet. And when you do, you find someone moves the ends, as it were. And yet, in truth, we can agree with this thought of the eminent surgeon, Dr. Paul Wilson Brand, who wrote this prayer. He said, "Dear Lord, I have been rereading the record of the rich young ruler and his obviously wrong choice, but it has set me thinking. No matter how much wealth he had, he could not ride in a car, have any surgery, turn on a light, buy penicillin, watch television, wash dishes in running water, mow a lawn, fly in an aeroplane, sleep on an inner-sprung mattress, or talk on the telephone. If he was rich, then what am I?" A challenge to hold lightly to the things of earth and tightly to the things of God today. To put more value on the riches of heaven, the riches of God's wisdom and grace, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his Holy Spirit. And we say with Peter, perhaps, "Lord, we have left everything to follow you." A reminder that ours is a gospel not of prosperity, but renunciation and letting go. And whatever we let go, Christ has given up more for us. And he speaks of that truth, how no one who's left home, brothers or sisters or mother or father, children or fields, for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields. Talking about perhaps the growth of the church and how you look around and you have far more brothers and sisters here than you do in your own life. Such is the kingdom, and with it persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Jesus himself did not withhold anything. It is he who gives eternal life. We'll never know what became of that rich young ruler. Did he go on to receive the word of Jesus later? Did he act on it? Was he there at the cross? We don't know what became of him. But our response, well, that's in our hands today. May God give us grace to know what that one thing is that he will ask of us this week, and give us grace to do it, to follow his way. Amen.
So rich, they
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. So as we come to our response, we're going to watch the Prisons Week campaign video for this year, which is centered on this reading. And that word, Jesus looked at him and loved him.
If you knew, I mean really knew, deep down, that God who made the earth and flung stars into space, that God looks at you. He sees you. He loves you, truly, unconditionally, and is for you. By your side and on your side. How would that change your day, your hours, your minutes, your seconds? How would that change your thoughts, your words, your relationships, your actions? And how would that change how you see others? Knowing that this is as true for them as it is for you. And you know who them are, don't you? The others over there. Maybe this year, for 1 week, Prisons Week, you could pray for them, the ones he sees, the ones he loves, as much as he sees and loves you, the ones he'd ask to pray for you, if it was you that needed to know that you are seen and loved. You are loved. They are loved. Let's pray.
So let's pray. Lord, we have been thinking together how you see us and love us. And you see prisoners. Prisoners that are often out of sight and out of mind for us. But we pray for them today. For those prisoners just a couple of miles away in Lamoy Prison that holds an average of 140 prisoners at a time and can hold 200. And Lord, we lift them up to you today. Prisoners and their families, for the prison governor, staff, and chaplaincy. Lord, break any bonds of fear or isolation. We pray for time for amendment of life. And remember those today who have been wounded by the actions of others, especially the victims of crime. Lord, have mercy, we pray. And Lord, as we lift to you your world, those making the headlines, and those needs closer to home, and those on our hearts, we ask, bring your healing to all wounds. Make whole that which is broken. Speak truth to all illusion and shed light in every darkness, that all creation will see your glory and know your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now we'll dedicate to God our offerings.
Scripture says we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. And so we ask for your help to be good stewards of all that you have given us. We dedicate to you these gifts of money and those gifts given by direct debit and standing order. And Lord, we ask for you to bless these gifts and with them our lives. Lord, that we may be channels of your love and blessing to others. For we ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
To sing our communion hymn as we remember the cross and the offering of Jesus. Here is love, vast as the ocean. I shall lead us in our prayers at the Lord's table. God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. He is our greatest treasure, the pearl without price, the one who gave up everything to purchase our forgiveness, our salvation, our eternal life. No more must we ask, what must I do? But just rejoice in all that Jesus has done for us. Lord, Lord, we praise you that he shared our human nature. That he walked with us, sharing our sorrows, healing our wounds. We thank you that for us and for all, he died on the cross, was raised again in glory, and lives forever to pray for us. And now, again, we gather at your table, remembering how Jesus sat round the table with his friends on the night before he died. How our Lord Jesus took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, we look back with thanksgiving, and we look forward to our sharing around your table in heaven. And no doubt surprised by who will be there sat next to us. And they surprised that we would be there too. So, Lord, we ask that you will pour out your Holy Spirit, that these gifts may be for us his body and blood, that we may know his living presence among us and his Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives. Lord, we thank you for all you have done. And we come and receive these precious holy gifts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All are welcome at the Lord's table. We'll come guided by the steward to receive. And if you would like to receive in your seat, then please let the steward know and we will come to you afterwards. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, and his blood which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Lord, we came here this morning hungry for your word, and you spoke to us. Came hungry for the bread of heaven, and you have filled us. Lord, we bless you and we thank you, and we give ourselves to you, your disciple, your follower, your witness, now and always, until you welcome us into your heavenly kingdom.
Amen.
We hope you'll be able to stay for refreshments served in the hall afterwards, and pray you'll have a blessed week and a wonderful weekend with the Feast of Tabernacles next weekend. So we conclude our worship. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Let's stand to sing. Help us, Lord, in this new week with whatever we own, whatever we do, whatever we are, to make a loving response to your great love, our Maker, Redeemer, Sustainer of all. Amen. And we say together the grace. May the grace of our